in very brief terms, the rule of 80 is an early retirement option within the loggers system that allows for employees of the county to retire when the sum of their age and service equals 80. So the easiest example of that is someone who starts here at the age of 20 and they work 30 years. 30 years down the road, they're at the age of 50. Plus their 30 years of service, that equals 80. That person can retire with an unreduced retirement benefit at the age of 50 instead of the age of 60 in the case of a general employee, or 55 for a police officer or firefighter. So what you currently have is general employees can retire at 60 and police officers can retire at 55. So what this option would do is it allows for folks that qualify for the rule of 80 to draw it earlier than 60 or 55. And so the way this table reads is pretty straightforward. The top section is just kind of showing you this is the benefit comparison that we're going to be doing. On the left-hand side where it says present, it shows your benefit program, your average salary, the fact that your employees don't contribute, and regular retirement. And then the alternate, which is the column to the right, it shows L6, 5-year non-contributory rule of 80. Okay, so just to give you a quick rundown of what each one of those little provisions are, just in case you don't know, the L6, what that means is you have a 2% multiplier times someone's salary times their years of service. That's what their benefit's going to be equal to in our system when they retire. A 5-year average salary, what that's going to do is we're going to look back 10 years, and from that 10-year window, we're going to take the highest consecutive 5 years and average them out. Non-contributory means that your employees don't pay any contributions into the system and you, the county, fund the entire cost. And then the difference between these two is what we're going to talk about now, the bottom one, which is regular retirement or rule of 80. But as an employer, you can change each of those provisions that we just went through. L6, 5-year, non-contributory, and retirement eligibility. And you can change them once every 2 years. Okay, so the thing we really want to talk about is the cost difference. Okay, so your present plan as of, and I believe this is January 1st of 2018, or fiscal year beginning in 19, January 1st of 2019, your total contribution rate is 14.6%. Okay, for the alternate plan, which is keeping all of your other benefit provisions the same, only changing from age 60 for general and 55 for police to the rule of 80 option, it's going to have a 2.6% increase in your contribution rate going forward, or a total contribution rate of 17.2%. And that's to cover your general department in this plan. If you flip the page, you'll see that the same exact looks almost identical. The difference is that it's for the police employees. It's on the right-hand side. You're going to have a 1.1% increase for your police employees, or a contribution rate of 18% to have the rule of 80 covered in your employees. Now, I'll tell you, on average, the majority of the time whenever I go to do these sorts of meetings that are looking for the rule of 80, a 1% increase for the rule of 80 is rare. Typically, it's around 3 to 6%. And my guess is you have a young group of police officers, or you have folks that started here later in their career and aren't eligible for the rule of 80, so it didn't have a huge increase in your costs. And same is true for the general employees. You're only seeing a 2.6% increase, and that's still below what I normally see when I do these meetings for the rule of 80. Do you guys have any questions for me? So that you know, it's 17.2% of your gross payroll. That's what we multiply at times, your gross payroll.
Of all gross payroll?
All gross payroll of employees working 1,000 hours or more annually for this county.
Now we're paying 14.6% of the salary, and go up to 17.2.
Correct. And then 16.9 to 18 for your
police.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. There is a process that has to be completed to do this, and maybe you've started it, maybe you haven't. I don't know. I'm kind of coming in this midway through. But the process starts as follows. The first thing is to get the valuation, which you've already done, and you have that in front of you. The second step is to make the full valuation, which I only gave you a quick abbreviated few pages. It's about 18 pages, the full valuation. You'll have to make that available for public view for 45 calendar days. So if anybody from the public wants to come in and view it, they have the opportunity to do so. However, if they want to get copies, Sunshine Law does apply. So they would have to pay for those copies. But after that 45-day period, you as a commission would then have to adopt a resolution that adopts the change. Okay, and we sent, with the full valuation, we did send sample verbiage of what needs to be included in that resolution for it to be acceptable for our purposes. Feel free to have your legal review it if you want to. But all you'll need to do is 45-day period, pass the resolution, and then that resolution needs to be to us, just a photocopy of it, not an original. Just the photocopy needs to be sent to us within 10 days of it passing. So if you haven't started the 45-day period, then today would be a good day to start it, because you can put that in your board minutes. It's, of course, it's your choice to do that. To make it available for public view, it's your choice. Any other questions for me?
That's the resolution. You wait. You make it available for public view for 45 days, and then you send it to you.
No, the cost available for 45 days. So this, the full booklet will have this in it, and then you pass the resolution, and then you get that to us within 10 days of it passing, and just a photocopy. So email or fax is fine. We want you to keep the original. The only other thing that we do need to discuss is the liability that would be you'd be taking on by doing an upgrade. Because what happens is, when a subdivision adds the rule of 80, you're shortening the amount of time that we have to pre-fund a benefit. So if we use that 50-year-old person again, if their age at one point was 60 and then you adopt a rule of 80, then that's 10 less years for us to fund the benefit. As well, it's 10 less years where they could potentially not be drawing a benefit. So there's a chance that they could draw that benefit earlier. And because of that, it creates a liability, and those liabilities are disclosed for each department on page 4, which is the first page of the handout I gave you, and page 6. Your general department's liability is, and which is, by the way, the liability is included as part of your contribution rate. So it's paid off over time. It's not something you have to pay additionally. It's just, we're going to disclose the number. And the number is $2,046,220 for your general department. And $152,000, and that's by the star, so that you guys know. When you're looking on this page right here, it's below the second line there that says star. Adoption of the alternate plan would increase actual accrued liability $2,046,220. And then for your police department, same exact line, it's $152,506. So that liability is paid off over 20 years in a closed period. So once the 20 years is gone, it's paid off. A lot of times what we see, though, is the performance of our system allows for your assets to grow large enough so that you're not feeling the actual effects of having a liability, because you have assets to offset it. But it's going to be 20-year close period as part of your contribution rate, just so you know. It's more of an FYI, because last time you did an upgrade, the same thing was true. Back in 2013, when you all upgraded to the L6, when that occurred, you created a liability. You're paying it off over a 20-year close period, so now we're a few years into that. Any questions for me?
Naturally, I would assume as our leverage rate goes up, if it changes, this would change also.
Your liability? So the liability will stay true. The difference is that if your rate goes up, it's because of what's called actuarial experience. So when an actuarial experience occurs, it occurs at every single employer, what we do is we adjust contribution rates. But that liability itself will hold true for 20 years. You'll pay it off over a 20-year close period. The difference is that if you have an actuarial loss, so for example, say you all give 10% pay increases across the board, that'd be great for everybody except for your loggers rate, because we're assuming a 3.5% overall payroll increase. And if you do more than that, then that's going to create a loss. So the liability, that number itself will hold true, but your overall liability may fluctuate because of actuarial experience.
So you're basing, on the second page, it says, like on number 3, estimated projected payroll based on increase each future year by 3.25. So you're planning on a 3.25%.
Yep.
And what if we don't go, what if we only do a 2%?
That's a gain, yes.
Does it lower our liability? Still stays the same.
So, yeah, that liability is going to still remain the same.
It's just in 20 years, we'll see.
You just may get more assets credited to your trust so that it's offsetting that liability.
So we're just 5 years into paying off the changing to the
yes.
right now.
Mm-hmm. But you're in pretty good financial position. Your rates haven't fluctuated much. I looked at your all's history before I came here. You're both of your departments, your general department's at like an 82% funded, and your police department's near 100. So that's a good position to be in. It's also a good time to make a change if you're going to, because you have the funds sitting in the trust to help offset that liability. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
Here's probably a wiser statement. What determines our cost? Like right now it's 14.6 for at our lowest rate.
Sure.
Per the value. What determines that fluctuation in that?
So every year, our actuaries stop what I like to call the actuarial clock on February 28th of every year, and they look back 12 months. From that 12-month window, they have a list of 20-plus assumptions that are built into that. Those assumptions include investment. They include turnover. They include retirements, longevity. Things of that are all kind of built into that. And then whatever, basically what happens is they look back and they say, okay, here's what our assumptions said was going to happen, and here's what actually happened, and then they adjust your contribution rate accordingly. So the things that go into it are those actuarial assumptions. That's one big player. The other is level of benefits. So the higher your benefits are, the larger your costs. And also the other piece of it is your group. So as your group ages, it typically, more often than not, you're actually, as your group ages, if you're not having a whole lot of turnover, you're becoming in a strong funded position because you've pre-funded that benefit. But once they retire, that's when your costs could potentially go up just a tad. It won't go up a lot. It just depends on when exactly they retire because, again, there's a lot of different assumptions. And one of those is we assume that 15% of people are going to retire on their retirement date, and then another 15% the year later, and then another 10% the year later. Kind of all built into that. There's all kinds of different assumptions. But one that is easiest to grasp is our investment assumption. It's the easiest one to grasp, so we'll talk about it. Our investment assumption is a 7.25% gain. It's what we assume we're going to get each and every year, and we have over the 51 years that we've been in existence. Over the 51 years we've been in existence, our long-term return is to 8.2%. But let's give a real-life example. We had 2008, 2009. It happened. Everybody took a loss. We did. Okay. We took a 19% loss on investment. So what does that do to an employer's contribution rate? Well, you guys probably know in 2013, 14, and 15, you saw gradual upticks in your contribution rate. So there's a couple of things in place that ensure that you don't see your contribution rates do this. One is the way we realize investment gains and losses. Instead of realizing them all in 1 year, we realize them over five. So anytime you take a loss, you divide it by five. Anytime we take a gain, we divide it by five. Okay, it doesn't matter. Anything in excess or below the 7.25%, we're going to realize that over a five-year period. The other piece is statute. It states we can't increase your contribution rate by more than 1% in a given year unless you make an upgrade. So if you're making an upgrade, that's you choosing to take a higher contribution rate. But we cannot increase your contribution rate by more than 1% a year. That doesn't mean you won't get 1% year over year, but 1% a year. So taking all of that into account, what they do is they stop the clock, look back, and they say, here's what happened. And based on our investments. So, for example, if our investments did better than 7.25, that's downward pressure on employer contribution rates over time. If it's less than 7.25, that's upward pressure on contribution rates. That's one of the biggest drivers, I would say, to your contribution rates, that and activity at your group level. Does that make sense? I know that was a really long-winded answer.
It's kind of
you. No comment.
He knows it's true.
The only other thing that I could think of from that you would need to know is just from an intangible standpoint. This isn't really something that you can grasp. There's no real hard data about the rule of 80. I mean, there's a little bit, but.